Everybody knows shit's fucked. I don't give a good goddamn. Your Uncle Sam is a motherfucker. I don't wanna see him again. Have to pretend, count to ten. He blew up your towers to justify war. Oh, I don't really care what your arms are for. More money on defense, fuck hospitals. Fuck human beings, fuck humanity.
Oh, hello, listeners. What a surprise. Daniel here. Now, let me first state, I'm doing this of my own free will. The spell isn't forcing this. There is no magic involved. It's just, I went back and listened to last week's show. And while I did do a forced apology for the audio quality, listening to it back myself hit quite different. Actually, it hit like a flaming bag of shit on my front porch that I stomped to put out while wearing my favorite shoes. That sound quality was so... the drizzling shits. It was so bad. You know the person who records covers of famous songs using a squeaky rubber chicken? Know this guy? Well, I'd rather listen to a full Nickelback cover album of the rubber chicken guy than hear that audio again. Anyway, if you stuck through the whole episode, sweet baby gray alien, bless you. You deserve a medal. Now, let's hope the mics on mics get it together this week and don't record using two tin cans on a string. But as always, no promises here. So, roll the open. Good God. I used to interview authors and researchers. I was on Clyde Lewis' show for crying out loud. Ground Zero, a guest. Now, my life is so fucked. Now you're about to enter a realm where the ropes of reality blur and a squared circle becomes the ultimate truth. Welcome to a podcast where the hosts dare to believe that every slam and every rivalry and every triumph inside the ring is as real as it gets. Step into a mysterious world where backstage whispers are mere echoes and a scripted drama unfolds as part of real life. Get ready for a journey where disbelief is suspended and the spectacle is nothing short of surreal. They are the Mics on Mics. This is Drive-By Wrestling, and we are about to enter the kayfabe zone.
Welcome, welcome. I am Mike J. He is my guest. We, Mics on Mics, this is Drive-By Wrestling, kayfabe zone. Mike, we handling everything a little better this week, sir?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I feel so much better. I tell you what, I'm not starting the show by laying in bed sweating, so.
Well, we're already.
That's a positive.
Yeah, I would say we're already in solid ground then. So let's just get into it, man. Look. You may or may not have heard last week, depending on what you could make out. you talked a lot last week about war, how everything's fair in war. And, you know, I brought up Liv attacking Rhea, Rhea being injured, her having to vacate the women's championship, which, by the way, Mike, new women's champion, women's world champion in Becky Lynch, winning the battle royal this past week on Monday. So congratulations to her. Solid champ. She's always a solid champion when she has that title. So we'll see where this goes. But I don't know, Mike. I think we need to address it. You kind of turned me last week when we were done recording. But since we finished recording, other things have happened, man. And I just don't know, man. Workplace safety, like workplace violence. I know it's pro wrestling. I know it's war. I know as a champion, you need to have your head on a swivel. But we left the show feeling that way. And then Friday night on SmackDown last week, Tama Tonga tried to murder Kevin Owens. Legit, yeah. Vehicular manslaughter, right?
I mean, it's getting out of hand, isn't it?
Like, where there's a line, right?
There has to be.
And what is that line? Is it like look, kicks, it's okay punches, to, jumps?
It's okay to try and like hurt someone, you know, but like we can't be out here just hurting someone.
Like weapons beyond what's normally used in a pro wrestling match.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a couple situations to talk about, which are a little different. But, you know, we don't, although, I mean, Goldust did get hit by a car in a wrestling match once.
That was with the context of the match.
Okay, that's fair. It was a Hollywood backlot brawl. It was within the context of the match. From all we know, I mean, we don't know a lot. We saw the aftermath, but KO was seemingly arriving at the arena. Tama, I mean, we don't know if he was in the car, if he was in the parking lot, but Tama, all we know is we saw a bloody hurt Kevin Owens being brought into the arena by Tama Tonga, and then later we saw the aftermath of two cars smash into each other in a parking lot.
I mean, aftermath is probably a good word for it.
So I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, as I said, like that was what the Goldust thing was in context of the match. But in general, you know, there's always happens to somehow be weapons under the ring, be it steel chairs, kendo sticks, ladders, tables, things of that nature. Cars should probably be out of the question in 99% of situations, especially, hey, I'm walking through the parking lot of this venue. Oh, and by the way, one of my coworkers is going to try to murder me.
There are just things that should be off limits. Look, I get it, man. It's a combat sport. It's all about hurting people. But legitimate murder? Whew. I think WWE has a real problem
right now
that they're refusing to.
I agree. And if we go back in history and time and look back, like one of the most unsafe places in the pro wrestling business is the NXT parking lot, right?
The NXT parking lot is the most dangerous place in the world. Yeah. The NXT parking lot is dangerous like a woman's high heel shoe was dangerous in WCW in 1995.
Fair comparison. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, we talked consequences last week. Like, what should be done? Like, we don't know the extent. They haven't updated us on KO's condition. And again, we don't know. Was he in the car and Tama drove his car into his car? Was he getting out of the car and Tama tried to literally smash him with his car. We don't know how exactly it went down. All we saw was the aftermath, and it was atrocious and a disaster. And I almost now feel ashamed that I made a t-shirt for a member of the Bloodline years and years ago.
Oh, man, don't feel bad about that.
I don't. That's fucking awesome.
It's pretty fucking sweet.
But here's the thing, Mike. This didn't even stop. I mean, it's like it's a wildfire spreading through all of pro wrestling, because this week it didn't stay as a WWE problem. Mike, this went over into AEW Dynamite, and of all people, Mike, of all people to be attacked, the owner of the company, Tony Khan, attacked by his own EVPs, Mike?
Look, guys, it's one thing for Tama Tonga. It's a whole other thing when you guys are doing it to the man that owns the company. Poor Tony Khan. Poor Tony Khan. He has not done nothing to nobody.
No.
Done nothing to nobody. Poor Tony Khan. It's a shame. I actually feel bad for the man.
And the thing is, I mean, unprovoked, right? Like, you cannot like your boss's decisions, but there's ways to handle that, especially when you're obviously not the same level. You're not owner, but EVPs, you have the ability to have a different kind of business conversation with this man, right? I don't know why, like, we had to go this route. Like, I'm sure Tony Khan was fearing for his life, Mike.
Wow. Look, man, if ever there was a time for Tony Khan to fear for his life.
Right.
This probably would have been it.
Had to be. I mean.
Had to be.
Getting a POW driver is just dangerous in itself, but getting one from the Young Bucks and the way that they deliver it, devastating. He's not a wrestler. He's not an athlete. Like, does his neck hold up? You know what I mean? Is this something that he's injured and now long-term he has to deal with for the rest of his life? Like, where do we even go from here, especially considering their position in the company, not only as, you know, competitors, but as managers, or, you know,
executive,
the title is executive vice president, but, you know, whatever that means for that company. Like, it's kind of like how The Rock is on the membership board of TKO, but then calling shots there. And he's won, too. He got away. Like, I know Cody was a challenger. At least they're both competitors. But leaving Cody bloody in the middle of a rainstorm, right? Like, shit's just getting wild, man.
It's really kind of fucked up that people, and it's it's conflict of interest.
Right.
You can't just be a person in a position of power like this and just, you know, do whatevs. That's not how these things work. Like, rules are made for a reason. And as an executive, as someone in that position, you know, you especially have a real fucking, you know, like, you got a real example you got to set. You got to lead.
Right. And especially leader, in a position of power, yes.
As a leader, you can't just be out here doing these things, man. Like, it's a bad precedent. Also, the words Jack Perry and elite don't fit, in a sense, together.
Well, I mean,
just throwing that out there.
They made a deal.
Yeah, maybe
obviously. I can't say a deal with the devil because the devil's Adam Cole. Like, but man, it's chaos. It's become utter chaos in pro wrestling.
I could do without ever seeing that fucking devil mask ever again. Throwing that out there, I could just do without ever seeing it ever again, ever.
And I just sit here and I think, you know, I know I don't compete for a living in combat sports, but I couldn't imagine coming into work every day and just wondering when my coworkers are gonna like smash me in the back with a steel chair or run me over in the parking lot or, you know, all these multitude of things. It's just the level of stress and anxiety these men and women must feel every day going into work. I don't know, man. I think something needs to change. I think somebody needs to set some harder rules and guidelines to follow here, because the repercussions just clearly aren't doing it. Not enough to scare people to keep them from doing this kind of things. And you know, I think they're, again, like we talked last week, some of it probably is within the boundaries of combat sports, but attacking a boss and attacking somebody with a vehicle.
Yeah. The NFL draft is today, and this man has another job.
Right.
As, what is it, head of football operations?
Yeah, sure. And analytics.
Something, sure. Sure, but like, yeah, holy shit, man. Pfft. Yeah, she's like, no, well, come on, whoa. But like, you know, man, you can't, like, this is a big fucking week. This is why the show was in Jacksonville this week.
Mm-hmm.
Man, speaking of this show, I just want to throw this out there real fast. I've never seen a more disrespectful treatment of a brand new champion on the next show after winning the title than Swerve Strickland this week. Just a random match for no reason against a fucking nobody. No disrespect to Kyle Fletcher. I really like Kyle Fletcher a lot. He's a good wrestler, but I don't know. Feel like it's your brand new champ, man. You don't have there's no celebration for him at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
He just has this match, huh? He shouldn't even have been having a match, guys. He should have been out here popping off at the mouth saying he was the best in the world.
Yeah.
I just thought that was weird. I'm used to champion showing up and singing his own praises and nope, none of that.
It did not. All right, Mike. NFL draft. We're also leading into WWE's draft, Mike. Starting, I believe, tonight on SmackDown. And let's talk about it. We got some rules that are set out and kind of clear cut for us. SmackDown, there will be 4 rounds, 16 total picks or exchanges. On Raw, there will be 6 rounds, 24 total picks. Of course, Raw has a larger roster. They have a 3-hour time slot. Gives them more superstars to create more matches. So I guess I get that. Finally, Mike, some rule changes that make sense. Champions on each brand are protected. So are, you know, newly divided tag team championships will stay on their respective brands, same as Intercontinental, US, and World and WWE men's and women's titles. So they aren't going anywhere. You've got a championship, you stay there. Now, I assume, well, we'll get to it here in a minute, women's tag champions are eligible, which makes sense because they kind of are represented on all 3 brands.
It does make sense, because who fucking cares?
That's rude. SmackDown
you didn't
will
say
pick...
False. I'd like to point out.
I did not. I said it was rude. SmackDown will pick first this tonight as we record. Tomorrow, as you listen, it would have already happened. Raw will pick first on Monday. So that also makes these are pretty smart rules, Mike. And rosters lock on Monday, May 6th. Now, I know we have a pay-per-view before then, correct? Backlash. Let's see. Hold on. Let's do some little bit of Googling here. As we are totally professionally prepared for this podcast, Mike. That's what we are. We're professionals. May 4th. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's right before. So Saturday, May 4th is Backlash. So, I mean, seemingly, this is the one critique, but I guess it's kind of unavoidable. Champions on each brand are protected. However, the rosters don't lock till May 6th. So I wonder if there's some like bylaws in the rules that they didn't, you know, they don't need to show us. But like, let's say Jey Uso gets picked by SmackDown, right? And then he beats Damian Priest. Does that nullify the pick or does it exchange those superstars? You know what I mean? Like, does that mean, well, now Damian goes to SmackDown and Jey Uso stays on Raw?
I don't know. I guess we'll see if Jey Uso wins, for instance.
Yeah, right, for instance.
But I think that's why it was done.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes sense. It makes sense. All right, so I'm excited to see how the rosters get shaken up and changed around. NXT stars are also all available. Well, not all available. They have draft pools, which I don't think we're going to get into the draft pools because it's just too much to talk about on a show like this, but there are draft pools and certain stars are available certain nights. Let's say this. Is there a strategy you would go for as one brand or the other? Your champions are locked, so you can't take them. But
I would be looking towards the future.
Right.
If it were me. I'm looking towards the future. What that means is, this is all a long way, like, talking to say that, if I'm a GM of either show, I'm locking down Gunther as quickly as I can.
Okay. So I was going to get to that. So number one,
you're building for the future. I think you're looking at. So number one picks, look, champions are protected, right?
Yep.
It would be absurd not to think Roman Reigns is a number one pick.
Right. However, I didn't want to go this route, but I have to. Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to glance at this draft pool. It's pictures, it's not names, so it's a little harder. Roman's on it. Roman, the entire bloodline, minus poor Jimmy. Oh, wait, no, he's on there. He's just not technically pictured with the bloodline, or is he? I can't tell. Yeah, they're on there. Roman's on there. Yeah, how do you not go for a Roman Reigns or a Gunther first, right?
So to me, those are the two clear-cut first picks, right?
Mm-hmm. For your men, yep.
Women, I think you almost have to put Charlotte Flair in Rhea in those same.
Well, I was gonna say that. And I don't see Rhea, maybe because she's injured. I don't see her listed. From what I can tell, I see Finn, Dom, and JD. which of course Damian would not be on here because he's a champion. But yeah, if Rhea was an option, I don't care that she's out right now. She's like my number one pick for the women, right? Like, yeah. She didn't lose a title. She had a dominant championship reign. I'm taking her so that in the future, she's getting a title shot. She's going to be my champion, right? Like, she's going to carry the division that I have on whatever brand I'm running, because it's just a smart move, right?
She's young.
Yep.
Future. She's dominant as fuck.
Yep.
Yep. So those are like the four right off the rip that I think are no-brainer top picks.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got, like I said, building for the future. I think either show would benefit from having Solo Sikoa on it.
Right.
Does
that come as does that come as a group pick? Solo, Tama, Paul? I mean, if so, how do you not take that pick, right? Now, granted, you could eliminate your workplace violence by getting rid of them, right? Or not eliminate, but cut down.
It would cut back on it. It's always going to be an acceptable amount.
Yeah.
But we're at an acceptable amount currently.
Absolutely. And an interesting thing, I'm looking again at this, draft pool. Available Friday is Bron Breakker, who is not... For NXT stars, it just says plus NXT stars available. There are none are pictured of who's available. Bron Breakker is pictured. So, assuming he's already considered. Law. Yeah, well, bro, I was saying Bron Breakker's already considered a SmackDown or Raw, you know, draft pool choice. So, he's not from the NXT draft pool. Which to me is interesting, and is also one of those, hey, we're looking towards the future here. What better blue chipper could we take? Now, that being said, again, future Mike, anyone in NXT that makes you go, because I'll say one who I guess won't be available, but man, if I was Adam Pearce or Nick Aldis, I would have been watching that championship match Tuesday night on NXT. And unfortunately for this individual in one way, but maybe not in another, praying that Trick Williams lost, because I would have took him in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. But I think either guy.
Ilio, yep.
Either guy, you're getting like a nice win out of, so.
100%.
I think,
and
you just build for the future. That's all you can do. I mean, obviously there's guys that are like modern day superstars, Seth Rollins.
Right.
Things like that, you know. So that's obviously something that you probably definitely want to keep an eye on. Seth Rollins, you know, but we're in a period of up and coming stars in this company, and be stupid not to get your hands on some of them.
Yeah, I mean, and you just look, I'm looking at Monday's available draft pool, the bottom row pictured across the front, and I'm gonna go across and just name out of them three that I see sticking out like a sore thumb of yep, yep, and yep. And we're talking future here, Mike. Tiffany Stratton, Dragon Lee, Jade Cargill. Like,
I agree with two of those.
Potential, okay? Potential, now, we don't know what they could turn into, but those are picks, in my opinion, that if you could get early, mid, you know what I mean? Like, you don't got to take them first or second. But like, if you could get them in a middle round and they're available, like, take them, right? Jump on that and see what you can do.
Look, I think Dragon Lee is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I just have doubt.
About Dragon Lee?
Yeah.
What kind of doubts, Mike?
Name me one guy that's reached a massive level of stardom while wearing a mask and don't say Rey Mysterio.
I was going to say Rey Mysterio.
I know you were. I know. Don't say Rey. Don't say once in a lifetime generational talent Rey Mysterio.
Do you think that he should unmask? Would it benefit him?
No. No, I do not. No, I do not, because the last thing we need on this roster is another Humberto Carrillo. We have so many Hispanic gentlemen who all appear to have the same gimmick of Hispanic gentleman in suit. I'm a very good looking Hispanic gentleman in a suit, right? We got like four of these motherfuckers. And the last thing we need is another Hispanic gentleman without a mask. And here's my thing. I just think that within WWE's style of wrestling, style of combat you have to engage in WWE, I just think that it's hard for a luchador style wrestler.
No, I understand what you're saying.
It's a land of giants.
It's a physical style. Yep. It's very physical, very power.
Physical power oriented style. Yep. AEW, man, a physical power oriented guy there doesn't. He's at a fucking loss there. You know what I mean? Look at Powerhouse Hobbs. Look at Brian Cage. Look at any. You know, Wardlow's the only guy showing any kind of success over there fighting the physical style.
Mm-hmm.
Just sometimes within the organization that you're fighting in, your style just doesn't fit. And I just think that within WWE, you hit a ceiling with Lucha because it's just ultimately too physical of a style.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I get what you're saying. I probably give Dragon Lee a better shot than you do, I guess, is a way to put it. But
I think he's fantastic. I want to state that. I don't want it to be like, oh, you know, Mike doesn't think Dragon Lee's good. Man, Dragon Lee's tits. Motherfucker.
Right.
I really do think that he can go. I just...
It's just when you're, you know, very short in stature and it sounds so wrong, but when you're short and you're smaller and everyone's got 1 to 2 feet on you and 100+ pounds, it can be hard to compete. I get you. I totally get you. Anyway, who do you think? Let's go a different route on this draft and wrap it up, Mike. Of the two GMs, and I'm interested to see how this plays because they don't say NXT doesn't get picks, but they're all available. So Ava just has to kind of watch her roster get plucked. Is that what's going to happen? Maybe if there's some free agents, she can pick them up. I don't know. But let me restart this. Which GM do you think will have a better shot at getting the overall better draft roster, Mike?
Raw just because they have more picks.
See, I was going to say that too. They're just a little bit lopsided in the picks, which I get. They have a larger formatted show to fill wrestling matches in. So they should probably have a few more people on their roster. But yeah, I agree. I think moreover because of the extra picks rather than the movement. So I guess that would kind of say that Nick Aldis just has to be a little bit bolder in his early picks, right? Try to even it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have to make some real plays.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's always a fun time to see who goes where, who ends up on what roster, and therefore what championship are they going to be gunning for? And if we review, we got on Raw, WWE Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest, WWE Women's Champion, or World Champ, sorry, I messed this all up. Damian Priest, WWE World Champion. Becky Lynch, WWE Women's World Champion. These new belt names have got me all fucked up. Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Champion. And Awesome Truth are WWE World Tag Team Champions. And then on SmackDown, we have, I guess, yeah, it would be on SmackDown. Cody has to go to SmackDown, right? There's one we haven't talked about. Cody just moves to SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Cody, WWE champion, Bailey, WWE Women's Champion, and A-Town Down Under, WWE Tag Champs, and Logan Paul, U.S. Champ. So those are your title belts that stay put. Of course, Kabuki Warriors are women's tag champs and can go anywhere. And there's a big pick. If you can pick it as a package, you got damage control. Take all of them. You know what I mean? That's a solid women's pick. Plus, you know, technically the tag belts are your show, even though they float. So there you go. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see how it all shakes out. Maybe we have to see some alliances broken up and new ones formed. It's going to be very interesting. Mike, is there anything else you want to say to these fine, fine people before we go?
Y'all, baby reindeer.
Just baby reindeer?
It's a show on Netflix.
Okay. I was really lost there for a minute.
Like, I haven't been able to sleep in like 3 days since I've watched it. It's crazy, y'all. Like, it's wild. Like, wild. And it's like, I don't know, there's 7 episodes, 8 episodes. And the first 3 episodes are kind of like lighthearted. And then the 4th episode happens. There's a total fucking like tone shift. And yeah, man. This is Whew, man. Guys, this fucking show, man. Holy shit. I'm not even going to say anything more, but I'll tell you the description that Netflix says. A man starts to get stalked by a woman older than him. That's the description. And you watch the little Netflix little preview and you're like, huh, this looks like fucking fun. It is not fun. It's not fun. It's the least amount of fun I've had watching a TV show. It's a good show, but it's the least amount of fun I've had watching a TV show. In quite some time. I've frequently said that I could do without ever watching Gemma Teller get raped at the beginning of Sons of Anarchy season 2 ever again. I will watch that episode fucking 6 times in a row before I have to watch this fucking show again. Holy shit. Holy shit. Also, Late Night with the Devil. Guys. God. What the fuck are we doing out here calling everything a classic? So here's the thing. Am I going to tell you, like, okay, this movie absolutely nails. Absolutely nails being a 70s talk show. The aesthetic, the clothes, the fucking presentation of it. It absolutely fucking nails it. It kills it. It crushes it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this isn't a good movie, right? But you're going to tell me this is the scariest movie of the year and fucking like 40% of the fucking crazy shit that happens in this movie is in the fucking trailer. Like, this movie is not scary. Is the end batshit crazy? Fuck yes, it is. Fuck yes, it is. Is there an interesting plot where you're like putting pieces together and tying strings and shit on a board like Charlie Day? Like that GIF, Charlie Day, you know? Yeah, it's an interesting fucking story that ties some interesting things together. But to tell me that this is the scariest movie of the year, please. And if you know, here's the thing. If no one would have told me this is the scariest movie of the year, they had just been like, this is a pretty cool little found footage film, Mike. I'd have been like, what a really fucking dope movie this was. But you're going to tell me it's a modern horror classic and the scariest movie of the year? Well, I guess it's all fucking downhill from here, huh?
Hey, you know what movie I just watched that kind of flew under my radar? That I thought was actually really, really, really good, and I'm not understanding the negative reviews, and I don't know if you saw it or not. I don't want to say negative reviews. Got like 5.9 out of 10 stars on something I saw. Boogeyman. 2003, Stephen King.
I was getting ready to say, you mean like this too? That movie's terrible, bro. Are you serious right
what?
Now?
What? It was fantastic. I loved it. It was creepy. I enjoyed it. Dead serious. You didn't like that.
I'm maybe not even watched it. I might be thinking of a whole other movie, just to be real.
Well, yeah. there is another Boogeyman movie that's like older, and it's not good.
You said it's a Stephen King movie?
It's based on a Stephen King story, yeah.
Does Stephen King know?
It's on... Does he know? There's a 2005 Boogeyman. As I'm Googling now, it's terrible. It's not good. The Boogeyman I'm talking about is on Peacock. So it's on the cock. Check it out. Let me know. Search it. Let me know if that's the one you are thinking of. I enjoyed the hell out of it. My wife enjoyed the hell out of it. And talking to one of my friends about it, who's a big Stephen King fan as I am, and he also enjoyed the hell out of it and didn't understand like the mid reviews, because I thought it was good. It was I'll say this, it was a PG-13 horror movie that did everything it could for being a PG-13 horror movie, if that makes sense.
God bless. They try sometimes, don't they?
What's that?
They try sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, but I mean, like, it didn't need. Like, it worked very well within the constraints of not being, like, bloody and gore. You know what? Does that make sense? Like, they did a very, very good job with it. So, I don't know. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Guys, I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We'll catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great week.
Well, I guess you guys really didn't need me this week. All right, then. I mean, it is kind of a pain to stop everything and cover your asses. Wiping out your utter stupidity at the drop of a hat. I mean, I had a whole Friday night with not a thing to worry about. I mean, I guess it isn't that bad being part of this. I'm here if you need me, guys. Right? I'm here. I can be part of this. If you smell what the Daniel's cooking, huh? See what I did there? Funny, huh? Wrestling. Huh? I'm good. I'm good at this. New episode of Drive By are available Saturdays everywhere podcasts can be found. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/drivebypod and forever on danielgrothe.us. That's Daniel GROTHE.US. And this has been a presentation of the Near Fall Network. Ha! Oh boy, I think I kind of like being a part of this show. I really do. What is going on with me? Hell yeah.